Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I cannot wait to launch and announce the brand new Surreal Resolution podcast subscription fee. I totally hope there's no recent internet controversies that are precedent for why this is a bad idea. And with me, I have...
Gather the rosebuds while you may. Something, something, Maddie Healy is a fuckhead. There, I saved you all 2 hours of your time.
And
why did that Top Gun Maverick song as the ending theme to Kashi number 8?
We warned you. We warned you all.
That's what that shit sounds like. Is it because like
Youngblood and One Republic was a bad idea? We tried to warn all of you.
You know what gets me about that is it's not just that the song is lame as ass; it's that the visual sucks too. Like, I saw, I think it was, like, Lost Thief from ANN and Jet, who also hosts Dub Talk and our own podcast, O&A, as well. They were talking, and they even pointed out how, like, when you look at the actual visuals for the opening, it looks less like an anime and more like some HBO show. Like, just a bunch of random CG imagery that has no connection, well, barely has any connection to the show it's introing.
Yeah, it kind of does, God, and damn. Also, I feel like the opening sounds like More like an ending theme than the opening, to be honest.
Yeah.
Those songs are so lame. And I'm not kidding when I'm talking about, like, I know, like again, the ending, like, another one song, that's what the fuck it sounds like. It sounds something like that, but. Yeah, it's just, at first, I was like, I have no strong feeling towards one, one way or the other. And now I was like, nah, this is kind of lame, to be honest.
I mean, here's the thing: the show itself is still good.
Yeah, I'm liking the anime so far.
Then again, I'm a big fan of the original manga.
Yeah. Nothing about that. The show so far is good. And it's kind of like, you're dirty, you're old. What the fuck, you little bitch?
Still just as funny in animation. Like, I'm not old, I'm 32. It's still old. Let's hear you, little shit.
I'm 33, you little bitch.
But, yeah, all this is proving is that, somehow a weird riff on Power Rangers somehow has the best anime OP of the season. Seriously, if y'all ain't watching Go Go Loser Ranger, bookmark that shit on Hulu and watch it. That shit slaps.
Yeah, and, okay, yeah, this actually some Hulu anime that somehow liked the season, like, Machine Yokas, whatever that is, because I think that was good. And yeah, I'm gonna be the guy, I like that show on the shit, what's it called? The Fable. Yeah, that's
the Fable? Fable.
Yeah. The one. I know it looks, you know, not, I mean, I know it looks kind of like, okay, not the best, but hey, I like it how I like my hip hop, greedy, grimy, and dirty.
See, here's the thing with that show. It's like, I remember the first time I ever heard about, like, the original manga, and I've heard so many positive things about it. And, like, watching the show, I can tell by listening to the dialogue that there's a really good story and interesting characters here. It takes some doing to get past the extremely rough animation, is what I'm saying. In fact, I think next time I go to, like, the Barnes & Noble or whatever, if they have a copy of it, I'm probably going to take it home and see what it's like.
Okay, I get you, but I don't know, maybe to me, just wanted to show. I thought it was all right. It could be worse. It could be viral hit. That shit was ugly. Yeah, see?
Oh, God.
Yep.
Manhwa adaptations. I have not clicked on that. I know better. But anyway, here we are, episode 347. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Oh, well. Turns out, I didn't get all of my money back from my tax return, because apparently somebody here in this state decided, hey, you owe some money to something. You owe how much are you getting back? I'm getting this much back. That's what you owe. We're gonna take that. No questions asked. Thanks. Bye. Fuck off.
Damn.
Oh, that sounds like ass.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it's not fun. Not fun when you're expecting money to come into your bank account and the state decides they can take it for something. They didn't give me a reason. And it's been unseasonably hot the last couple days. Like, not almost 90 degrees hot. Weather is very confusing. I don't like living on this gigantic ball of heated gas. But that's a story for another time. And there was something else that happened, but I'll get to that another time on another show. If you know, you know. I'm saving my bile for later.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. You know how last week I talked about car problems? Well, this is car problems part. I've lost count. Hopefully this should be the last one because, like, thankfully, some people in my job got one of the cousins who's actually like a, you know, like a mechanic looking into it. It's I had to get one thing replaced, which is cheap, and it should be good and new, which I hope it should, like, to keep a thing like that, thankfully, it did cost me a lot of money, so it's like, I just hope this thing just, it's good once for all, because I'm getting sick of running into this shit every week or month, because it's just aggravating.
Hopefully that all gets resolved eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just gonna get corks that give a shit about me. I mean, which is good to know that. I mean, I've been working long work weeks, but well, I mean, at least I get. These are more money for me than the week, but still in the isolation for people sometimes. But it's all good.
Yeah, I'll drink to that. Anyway, as for me, well, first of all, screams very viscerally because my job decided to be extra annoying this past week. Like, sorry, I try to leave that shit at the desk. I don't take my work home with me outside of that fucking desk, but God fucking Christ. Anyway, aside from that, over the weekend, played a show with the band. It was kind of like this little outdoor thing up a couple hours north in Sebring. For some reason, there was a house that we were playing outside of where the fridge had a drawing of Inosuke from Demon Slayer on it.
Oh, ooh.
The things you find when playing metal shows. Also, you ever hear some cringy white guy rapping over the Exorcist theme song? No. You get no context for that. Figure it out on your own.
that sounds more horrifying than the actual movie, The Exorcist, which is probably the most horrifying film ever made.
Probably. Sorry, go ahead.
You know, say somebody rap over the Exorcist theme? Okay. I mean, I thought of somebody rap over the Berserk, over that one Berserk thing, Forces, but wait, or was it over the other one? Like, shit. But then again, okay, in my head, it sounds good, but you know what? Never mind.
That reminds me. I actually have the recent Discotech Blu-ray release for Berserk sitting right next to me. I gotta actually watch that at some point. What else? Okay, so there was a Splatfest this past weekend, but since I was a bit preoccupied being a little bit up north, some of my roommates had volunteered to try and, like, keep me in the game a little bit. If you're wondering what the theme was, which do you think is more adorable? Baby chicks, bunnies, or bear cubs. The house was generally Team Bunny, and the winning team was Bear Cubs. I'm looking to my left. I see my big man amiibo, and he is probably mocking me. And the thing is that, like, I looked at the results, and the thing is, bunnies technically won the popular vote by the end of everything. It's like, come on, give us a little bit more, right? Doesn't matter. The way they started, like, they revised the way they, like, scale the points, so that way you don't end up with, like, absolute nothing sometimes, but, like, the Team Bunny still wound up dead last by literally, like, a fraction of a hair, and I swear to fucking God, if they don't kick Shiver out of the goddamn polycule now, I'm gonna scream. And can I just say, I thought you all fixed the mirror matching problem, Nintendo. Seriously, last Splatfest, there wasn't a lot of that. But now, it was firmly back. Ugh. One step forward, however many steps back. Ugh. Anyway, this is why I watch anime to cope. But I don't really have much else to say or bitch about for now. So we're going to move on from all those intro formalities to the usual weekly business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes and market calendars for potential new albums you can pick up and all that fun business. Starting right here at the top, we have a couple of Lucy tracks here, courtesy from one of my favorite new artists that I've recently started getting into, DJ Sabrina, the Teenage DJ. that's such a fun name. The songs are called Come Find Out and In My Eyes. So, talking about them in order. Come Find Out is the more high energy of the two. It's definitely very, like, you know, adrenaline-fueled, and it's got a lot of the signatures of her style, with a lot of those, like, eccentric squealing synths, a lot of fast four-on-the-floor kick, a myriad of various chopped-up glitchy vocal samples, all melded into, like, a really solid, you know, dance floor banger, with a lot of just, like, it just makes it feel good. You get that sugary sweet, like, fucking serotonin going off in your brain when this is playing. And then there's the other track, In My Eyes, which is the slower of the two. It's got, like, a slight shuffle to its groove and rhythm, but the production otherwise has a lot of crystalline synths, lush piano runs, and the vocals here are actually a lot less choppy and kind of, like, play out more fully. Kind of has, like, a good song to slow dance to at a prom. I don't know. I never actually went to my prom. I'm a fucking dweeb. Do you think I went to that? Anyway, I like these songs. No need to talk about high school.
Yeah, these songs are pretty good. This is pretty good. Although I admit, I kind of like them. Come Find Out a lot more than In My Eyes. But both equally good. I guess what they are like. I appreciate the high energy one, but In My Eyes got that slow dance type of shit going on too. Also, I want to comment on this. I like how in the Shogun piece that where she says so for anyone this one about to taste this new album, or even if you liked it, here's new music I hope you love. So get dancing. Oh boy. I hope she's open to against the you-know-what.
Anyway, moving on from cheery dance stuff, we got another dose of Alcest to talk about here. So, recently, the band announced that their newest studio album, Les Chants de l'Aurore, is coming out June 21st. We already talked about the lead-off single, and now we have song number two here called Flamme Jumelle. And, this one, you know, the opening kind of sets the tone very nicely. It has this kind of steady, grooving tempo, a lot of intricate guitar melodies, and the vocals themselves being very, very clean and melancholic, with the song kind of alternating between these kind of, like, very clean, focused verses and a lot of these more effects-driven, like, shoegazing choruses and bridges. The song as a whole is very firmly reliant on all of those melodic aspects to create, like, this serene kind of melancholy to it. Like, there's only really two moments in the songs that are kind of, like, suddenly punctuated by, like, this more aggressive howling vocal, but otherwise it sits very firmly in melody territory. It's pretty solid, all things considered. Also, the choreography in the music video kind of reminds me of something that Mac would dance to in Always Sunny.
Hmm. Yeah, so this is called Black Gaze, and here I thought this was called post-metal. There are too many subgenres, but... as in, like, black metal and shoegaze.
Okay.
There are too many subgenres here, but... either way, I dig it. It's atmospheric and has some good melody to it. And the video for it tells a story through interpretive dance.
I understood that reference.
Yeah. Although there are no shoes involved, but we don't need shoes here.
Yeah, I go into work barefoot. Everybody gives me weird looks, but like, fuck it.
What about a broken glass?
Oh, come on. Why would there be broken glass? What is this, Die Hard? Man, I wish. Then I'd be cool. Anyway, let's move on to another song here. One that's definitely more abrasive in a sense. So, it has been a hot minute since we've heard from the Quebec-based rapper Backwash. That is Backwash with an X in the middle. Her last major studio album of note was 2 years ago. And we have a new one-off here, or maybe it's a sign of more to come, called Wake Up. And this is a pretty beefy track, like it's about 8 minutes. And it opens pretty much right in your face with this vocal sample kind of just blaring the song title at you. Like, if you want to wake someone up, you probably could just use this on a loop, you know. And yeah. Eventually it leads into the kind of like... the usual Backwash production style, you know, a lot of industrialized drums, these spooky synth chords, and you get these occasional bits of like droning guitars and kind of piano bridge, at least throughout the first half. Then once you get into the back half, the song kind of shifts to like, it's a very gospel sounding sample, but I swear to God, I feel like I've heard it before in a different rap song and I can't remember where. Aside from all that, once you actually get into the song lyrically, it maintains her usual style of using a lot of very ugly imagery from a lot of religious allusions and spiritual imagery to kind of relate to the myriad of struggles she has of living in the hellscape of modern society. And again, there's a lot of lyrics to sort through. I'm not necessarily going to quote them all, but you do get like a wide range of like the problems that she's going through, from like the pain of aging and how atrophy is affecting her knees and all, to a lot of stuff that's kind of like, you know, violence against her for her, you know, racial and gender identity, wanting to be executed by modern society, struggling with thoughts of suicide. And there is one lyric in the song that is definitely, I assume is going to be very painfully relatable to a lot of people, especially if you kind of have like a very grim, dark sense of humor about things. The line is, I'm dealing with loss of... Shit, I think I might have copied this demo, but... Okay, I'm dealing with loss of something. The ceiling is all gaze as I rot away. I might do it, but not today. See, there's a game coming out that I really want to fucking play. Which, you know, I'm not going to say that I've ever joked about something like that in my own life. Specifically, sometimes, if I'm in a dark humor about things, I'll be like, listen, I'm not going to die until I find out what the One Piece is. Then I can die. Something like that. But otherwise, you know, if you like Backwash, this song is a pretty excellent helping of her music, so fuck yeah.
This is very dope track, like especially during the back end, which gospel form sound. It does get you moving, like it does get you moving, like this. It does get you like I want to say it's like very ascendant, like the way it sounds. And oh yeah, just to warn you, fear to say includes some flashing lights, so yeah.
Yeah. Just
want to get that to you. And also, I noticed, apparently, the video was written by a longtime collaborator, Machant, I hope I'm saying it right, Machant Vaporwave?
Vaporwave.
Okay. There might be a stage name, but it's still a good name.
Hell yeah! Yeah. All right, so moving on to the next track here. It's been recently announced that the band Gate Creeper is dropping their newest album, Dark Superstition, on May 17th. We've already had a couple songs to talk about throughout the year. One that came out, you know, before the album announcement, where it was a very, like, grimy, dirty death metal affair. And then when we actually talked about, the last time we talked about them, we had a song that, like, had some of that griminess, but had way more of, like, a melodic 80s, 90s headbangers ball kind of feel to it. So now we have this new single here titled Masterpiece of Chaos. And I would say overall, this one kind of veers more towards the former. This is a track that absolutely has some meat on its bones, a lot of nice hefty death metal grooves throughout. Kind of like a heavier version of like Obituary type stuff. Switching between a lot of halftime rhythms that, you know, bang out fills on the toms or grooving on the right cymbal. And plenty of double timing, you know, as it hits the gas on the fucking blast beats in between all that stuff. The vocals are, you know, super heavy, as you can expect. And we do get a lot of, you know, those sort of squealing leading guitar parts with lots of howling and, of course, harmonics in tow. Pretty good stuff. I dig this.
Yes, the trademark doom guitar sound is present here. Boss metal zone, mids completely scooped, and the drive turns all the way up for maximum brick walling. I hear some people enjoy that tone for everything. Not me, though. I like a little bit more clarity and crunch in my guitar tone.
Fair enough. And now that leads us to the last song we have to talk about here. So, it has been a, when was the last time we ever talked about Lacuna Coil?
Their last album was a while ago. They did a song last year.
Yeah, can you tell I don't pay much attention to them? But we do have a song from them here to talk about. It's called In the Meantime, and I believe, Alex, you were the one that shared this to the chat, and when you did, you were, you sounded very severely annoyed by it. Care to expand on why?
Yeah, so, when I put this in our little chat, I ended it with this. Today just sucks for me. It was a bad day for various reasons, and this track here has a feature with Ash Costello from New Year's Day. Now, the sign of a bad feature is when you hear someone on a track and go, this would sound the exact same if the singer wasn't here. Such is the case, because aside from them touring together, why would you succumb to the mediocrity of New Year's Day, of all bands?
You know, it's a good thing that sometimes I don't pay attention to bands like that.
You're not missing much. Not at all. Like, this is the band you go to only when Spirit Box, Dying Wish, and even In This Moment are too busy for a feature. And it's just swimming deep, deep in the mids. Like, if you had Cordy from Spirit Box or Emma from Dying Wish, they could supply a little bit extra something in here. Something to bounce off of Christina and Andre, you know, doing their thing. Here, this just sounds... this would sound the same if Christina Scabia was singing these lines. Like, there's nothing here. The track isn't even all that amazing here. It's perfectly fine and cromulent. But it's just there, in one ear and out the other. This feature was unnecessary. Why are you succumbing us to mediocrity like this?
Worse than In This Moment. God, ouch.
Like, at least with In This Moment, they have presence. This band, as I call it, like, as the kids say, there's no presence. There's no mana. There's no riz, as some kids say somewhere.
Ah, but, you know, it's funny you say that. I think I might have to keep that rule of thumb in my back pocket regarding guest appearances, because In case you couldn't tell, I have never heard New Year's Day before. I'm not even sure I could say I've heard of them before. But, like, I hit play on this song and I'm like, where's the guest feature? I don't know. I thought it might have been one of the other members of the band doing, like, you know, backup vocals for Christina. And I was just like, is there a guest feature? The whole thing just went, like, in one ear, out the other. It's, I mean, have you heard any Lacuna Coil song ever? Like, at a certain point, they kind of bleed together. And, I mean, this is just, like, you have those chuggy guitars with slight bits of melody, but nothing too spicy. This whole thing just kind of sounds like something that a DJ would play on Sirius XM Liquid Metal just because they had to occupy space.
Yeah, it's basically, hey, we're touring together. Let's do a feature on this song to promote it. And, thanks. I'm not going to get my time back, but, whatever.
Yeah, so, this collaboration, it's not good.
It's not necessary.
No, it is not. But, what is necessary is a brief bit of a pause, as, we've now finished the new song discussion, and we're gonna take our break, and then we go right into the news topic. So, stay tuned. And we're back. We have a few news topics to discuss here. First of all, Childish Gambino. Donald Glover has, as usual, been busy with various things. I think most recently that Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV thing that I think was an Amazon show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. But meanwhile, as far as like his music career, he hasn't really released a album since 3/15/20. Which, if most of you probably forgot happened, you could probably tell why because of the date.
Yeah.
And, he's, well, okay, as far as music stuff, every now and then he teases, like, oh, this is the day that I'm, like, gonna finally retire the Childish Gambino banner. He's, he said he was gonna be, like, talking, it's like, since 2017 or so, he's been, like, you know, in that kind of mode. And then he mentioned something about, like, releasing something called Atavista, an updated version of 3/15, you know, with actual song titles and altered track list and all. But he did go live on Instagram this past week, specifically, I think this was, like, from Coachella or, like, afterwards. But, like, when someone asked about new music, he replied, and of course, sorry, he replied, and I quote, "Of course, it's a rollout, dummy." And then he played three unreleased songs. Well, okay, three songs. One was unreleased. The other was a previously leaked track called Human Sacrifice. And a completed version of a song called Littlefoot Bigfoot, which was previously known as 3531. Because of the track list from the, 3/15/20. Now it features Young Nudie, is going to get a music video eventually. And he explained that once Atavista actually comes out, there will be one last, supposedly, Gambino album, specifically serving as a soundtrack to a movie he's working on called Bando Stone in the New World. Again, I'm not entirely sure I buy that, to be honest. I've been on this roller coaster before, man.
Yeah, so are we going to consider this quickly memory hole project, as it says here on Stereo Gum, as his untitled unmastered?
Our interesting point of comparison. Not really sure how to describe that.
Yeah. That came out at the worst possible time, didn't it?
Yeah,
it did. And Nader was having a strong memory of that of the album anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I ever listened to Untitled Unmastered. But I mean, again, we're going to have to wait and see. That Donald Glover is a guy who, like, I like this stuff, but he's also one of those dudes that just, like, says a lot of things. Like, okay, this is going to sound a weird point of comparison, but, like, you know how, like, Clown from Slipknot, whenever you read an interview from him, he's just, like, saying words? And you're like, okay, I see that you're saying words, but is there actually a thought being expressed here?
Yeah, I don't know. That's Donald Glover to a T in some interviews I've seen him in.
Yeah, remember when he said Bad and Bougie was the greatest song ever?
No, I don't, actually. I don't.
Ah, God, that song's meme status is weird. But anyway, let's move on from that to the next topic here. So, we have the official announcement for the inductees into the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, the list as presented here, the inductees in this thumbnail, are the likes of, we're just running down what it says here. So, Mary J. Blige, Jimmy Buffett, the late Jimmy Buffett, sadly, Cher, Dave Matthews Band. I hope they have a tour bus to celebrate. And it better not drive over any rivers. Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, this economy, Alexis Corner, John Mayall, MC5, rest in peace to Wayne Kramer, Ozzy Osbourne, Suzanne DePassé, Big Mama Thornton, A Tribe Called Quest, Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield. Wait, hang on. I just noticed this. In the Stereo Gum piece we're citing, it says, and I quote, apparently this was announced in a Rock Hall themed episode of American Idol?
Oh boy.
Gene Simmons guest hosting?
Couldn't tell you. I don't watch it.
Who is? I thought we all gave up on that shit when it got canceled the first time. Oh right. I forgot. It is still going on. I saw that Defunctland video about the American Idol experience. That was a thing. So if you're wondering about like the specific breakdown here, so Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews, Foreigner, Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy, and Tribe are inducted as performers. Buffett, MC5, Dionne Warwick, and Whitfield gain the Musical Excellence Award. Corner, Mayall, and Big Mama Thornton are going to be honored with the Musical Influence Award. And Suzanne DePassé, who for the record is a executive for Motown, is the winner of the Amit Erdogan Award. So if those combinations of words mean something to you, there you go. And of course, the actual ceremony will take place October 19th at Cleveland's Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Oh, God, that's who the fuck owns that place?
Yeah.
Ugh. And will air live on Disney Plus.
Yeah, okay. Because why not?
You know. Fucking Disney. But, I mean, again, for you dads who care about that type of stuff, there you go. But, who cares about that when we got, Beef!
I'm not doing the thing again. Welcome back. I did it once already.
Okay, fair enough.
Welcome back to Rap Beef part. I lost count. Rap Beef 2024. Let's call it that.
You wanted a storyline, you got it, and the monkey's paw curled up and gave us all a gigantic middle finger.
Yeah. So, if we were to do like a little recap, so, like that from Kendrick Lamar, well, from Future, Wicked Lamar, of course, basic shots at Drake and baby J. Cole. Of course, J. Cole responded with his 7-minute drill, which wasn't even 7 minutes, of his mixtape I Delete Later, which, well, he deleted that song later, which that song charted, then it got, it is out.
Fix your metrics, Billboard.
Ah, this goddamn industry.
And of course, after 3 weeks, Drake released his disc called Push Ups. His response to his like that, which he dissed Kendrick Lamar, Future, Metro Boomin, The Weeknd, and Rick Ross too. And of course, hours after that, Rick Ross responded with his diss, champagne. I know it's called champagne something. We basically called him white boy. And well, we know that he ran to his mama, which it's sort of, it sort of checks out. But anyway, after that response, after he officially says push-ups as, you know, as an official, not this week, he now made another song, which is titled, and I shit you not, Taylor Made Freestyle.
Get it? Like Taylor Swift? I can't even follow. I swear to God, is Taylor Swift real? God help us if she actually releases a diss track and all this. That's the last thing we need, is the fucking Swifties getting involved and throwing a shit.
That's not the worst part, though.
So he made another diss towards Kendrick Lamar, basically telling that why, basically saying, how can you diss me already? Come on, I need a response, K-Dot. Where's the response, K-Dot? Come on, get at me, bro, or some shit like that. But here's the worst part. It features vocals from Tupac and Snoop Dogg. Wait, let me rephrase that. It features AI vocals of Tupac and Snoop Dogg.
What the fuck are we even doing here?
Okay, so, I've been thinking about this, because... okay, where do I start? First of all, this is only tangentially related, but there was also this really weird tangent where some 23-year-old asshat apparently made, like, an AI-generated Kendrick Lamar diss track and all of this. And I'm like... Okay, this is officially turning into, like, a fucking Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode.
Yeah.
But getting to the actual shit that's on hand here, because I'm not any kind of expert in rap beef. I'm just some Hispanic weeb from South Florida. But, like, if you have to go running to goddamn, like... If you have to go running to your fucking AI software or whatever to make diss track vocals for yourself, isn't that fucking admitting to loss by default? Like, wow, you are fucking, like, lame as hell. Like, okay, even Snoop Dogg was confused by this, apparently, because a bunch of people were hitting up on, like, Instagram, and even he was like, what the fuck is going on? And, like... Oh my god. The Tupac thing in particular, like, I get why he's trying to go there, because, like, Tupac is, you know, one of Kendrick Lamar's musical heroes and all, but, like, again, you're running to goddamn, like, I don't even know what fucking softwares are out there for AI-generated vocals or whatever the fuck, but, like, does anybody remember the whole controversy from years ago when Drake was first suspected of using ghostwriters for his music?
Yeah.
Because this gives a whole new meaning to the phrase ghostwriter. Because you're literally trying to invoke the ghost of a dead man for spitting bars that aren't even that good. Like, again, he's doing, like, the whole J. Cole thing. Like, remember what I said about how the album title Might Delete Later sounds like some shit you see from a passive-aggressive white chick who spends too much time on Instagram? That's what the lyrics to this song sound like, whether it's Snoop air quotes, Tupac air quotes, or Drake's verse air quotes. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he just fucking went to goddamn ChatGPT or whatever the fuck to write his own goddamn lyrics. And the thing is, like, if you really wanted, like, if you couldn't get Snoop on your track and you wanted fucking, like, I don't know, some Tupac vocals on there, just go to fucking Fiverr. Just hit up Cameo or Wish.com. Find some... Fuck, go to Facebook Marketplace and find a goddamn Tupac impersonator. That would be more dignified than running to the goddamn plagiarism machine for the sake of a rap beef. Like, I don't even think Kendrick Lamar needs to say anything at this point. He won. You lose. You get nothing. Good day, sir!
And also the way he had... Yeah, you know, him was Tupac going to ask, and I quote, talk about him like a young girl, that's a gift for me, heard on the Button podcast, it's gotta be true. They told me to spread Machiavelli is alive in a nigga under 5'5", so it's gotta be you. It's like, you're basically saying all the shit that, basically saying, ask Tupac all the shit that we said about you, is you go out the young girls. Which, yeah, that doesn't make you sound like you're being clever, you're, sounds kind of, creepy.
Shall we ask Millie Bobby Brown what this is all about, or do we already know?
Yeah. And apparently he's talking about, he ain't responded because of Taylor Swift's new album, like, he says it now, like, a week because Taylor Swift's new top, like, dude did the same shit too! Like, are you trying to act like, you're like, you're top dog, like, you're about to drop shit out and prove this girl, we're about to make you, yeah, like, you're not in a feud. He says, shout out to Taylor Swift, biggest gangster in the music game right now. She got the whole PG Lang on mute, like, that Beyonce challenge. You are really fooling yourself in the freaking, you're the victor here. For real, you talk about how, he's a fan of Taylor Swift. Didn't you do your album because of her too? You're not exactly the big man on campus now, aren't you? And then some of you motherfuckers out there talking about, y'all some Kendrick glazers, man. Y'all know what, like, and then the whole shit, like, how, like, how come you're doing with Kendrick use Tupac in his album? Like, you mean, Pimp Butterfly and Motor Man, the last track, where he got permission from his mama to do that shit? Or better yet, when they reference the Heart Part 5, as in, you know, the whole deep fake thing, he used AI too. You do realize, again, I don't know if he used permission. He said, hey, can I do this shit for you? He showed her, like, okay, you can do it. Like, y'all look any excuse to say shit like that, or not realize that, you're missing the context of what they all used for. There was some artistic merit, at least in Tupac and the whole Heart Part 5 video. He used this for a fucking rap beat. And again, some of you saying, you must be a Kendrick fan. Like, what that makes you then? Especially some people like, two in particular. One being the obvious being academics. And one other guy you should know. Do you want to say his name at this point?
Hum me the fucking melody?
Yeah! That guy, that guy said some shit too.
This is Dunning-Kruger personified. Thinking you're the smartest person in the room when all you are is just a fucking wheelchair-bound clown on Degrassi! Oh, this is so fucking stupid.
He probably won't even do his own clown makeup. He'll just fucking go to Dolly or whatever. Like, God, fuck, wasn't there, like, a controversy, like, last year where, like, there was a viral Drake track made with AI?
Yeah, with him and apparently AI Weekend?
Yeah, just, this is so dumb. This is so stupid. Just, immediate disqualification. That's what this is. Immediate fucking disqualification.
And you know what's the saddest part? You know you fucked up a track. When Chris Brown did a diss track against Quavo, And at least he went on that shit. I'll be kind of fucked up by saying Riff Takeoff and then saying we're gonna kill you instead. Which okay, that's fucked up, but at least use his own fucking voice.
The beef is spreading to side beef. We're not ready for this. We gotta nip this right now before it gets way too out of control and, you know, we start getting, well, I'm not going to invoke what happened in 96, but let's just not escalate to that level. Okay, people?
Yeah, we don't need another Biggie Tupac thing. Or at least make sure it don't come to, you know, gunshots. As a matter of fact, fucking just stick the fucking Instagram. At least, I mean, that might be stupid, but at least, it'll mind getting killed, or I don't know. Just put the shit on wax, or do it better.
Yeah, God, Drake, how do you suck so bad at everything? I don't think we have much else to say at this point. I don't think Kendrick actually has to respond. He wins by default.
Yeah, like...
But, like, you know, like if he does respond, it's just gonna be, like, overkill. And I do look forward to it if he does.
Yeah. And some guy, we need to respond, like... He kinda doesn't. I don't think he has to. Y'all talking about what's taking so long? Drake waited three weeks or a month, depending on the official release date to do this. You can't be rushing. You ain't saying shit to him about that shit. Not have yet.
No, you have not. So yeah, that's pretty much about it for the news topics. So we're just going to go ahead and move on to the last little tidbit here, and that is the new album releases for the week of April 26th, 2024. Starting at the top, Accept, who are apparently still around, have a new album out called Humanoid. For the band Black Tusk, there's their new album, The Way Forward. From Full of Hell, there's their newest album, Coagulated Bliss. From the band Inter Arma, there's the album New Heaven. From Antichrist Demon Core, there's their new album GOAT, acronym of course. From Alien Ant Farm, there's I'm actually not sure how you pronounce this, because it's spelled Mantras, but the A is capitalized, so Mantras? Actually, I think it's pronounced, surprise, it's just 12 tracks of the song Movies.
Never gets old.
And the one not rock or metal album that we have here coming out this Friday that I noted was the new Justice album, Hyperdrama. Well, it's about time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, as always, kind of, sort of. This show, my other show, the Discord, other Discords, and... out in the ether and the void, because the internet is a terrible place full of scum and villainy.
And how? Mark, what about you?
Let's see, the show at Master of the Media, where maybe I'll avoid I'm just avoiding the OVO hoes. And yes, I'm calling you that. Yeah, yes, I'm calling y'all that. Also on my site, MonoHyper1, HyperOneNetworks.com. Yeah, that's all I got.
Alright, cool. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast ONA, and all of that good stuff. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord chat, as that is the best way to be immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. That'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly nonsense. And until then, have I mentioned I fucking hate mosquitoes? I do not like mosquitoes.
Okay, now I gotta do a diss track. We gotta get Griselda somebody on this.
And we're actually gonna hire them ourselves. Or at the very least, we're gonna get like a fucking West Side Gun impersonator off of Timu.